sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
You cannot talk.
On est quoi là? Épisode 156. Speak my peace. Been waiting all day to do this. Ha! Sicker than your average. I said, ha! Sicker than your average. Papa twist cabbage off instinct. Niggas don't think shit stink. Pink Gators. My Detroit players. Tim's from a hooligan in Brooklyn's. Dead right. If the head right, Biggie there air night. For you white people, it's every night. Papa been smooth since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to bruise crews who do something to us, talk, go through us. Let me repeat that. I think I fucked that up. Never lose. Never choose to bruise crews who do something to us. Talk, go through us. Girls want to do us. Excuse me. Girls walk to us, want to do us, screw us, who us. Yeah, Papa and Puff. No comments. Close like Starsky and Hutch. Stick to clutch. There I squeeze three out of Cherry M3. Take that, take that, take that. Bang every MC easily, busily. Recently, niggas frontin', ain't saying nothing. So I speak my peace.
Message.
I said, so I speak my peace.
Message.
One more time. So I speak my peace.
Message.
Keep my peace. Cubans with Jesus peace. With my peeps. Packing, asking who want it. You got it. Nigga flaunt it. That's Brooklyn shit. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it. Blizzy, 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 can't you see? Hey, you know what? I'm going to apologize in advance because I was trying to recite that as a poem, like some Shakespearean poem, and it was impossible. The whole time the beat was playing in my head. And the whole time beat was playing in my head, and like I feel the urge to redo it and go, sicker than your average. Papa twist cabbage off instant. Niggas don't stink. Shit stink. Okay, I can't replicate the flow, but it was an attempt. It was an attempt. And you know, I gotta remind myself, it's my goddamn podcast. Well, who the fuck am I apologizing to? To myself, yeah. I that run deserved. But with that out the way, welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to welcome all you new listeners, but warn you that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question.
Are you an outcast?
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 13, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be dead with Whitey, then fuck you too. I meant that, man. I meant that. I really wanted to, I was really looking forward to reciting that Biggie verse. And yeah, before I elaborate on that, let me just, you know, I forgot. New listeners, let me help new listeners get familiarized. So check this out. New listeners, I like to break down my episodes into three parts, but I prefer to call them acts. And I can play act. And the first act is the intro. Second act is using random thoughts. And the final act is final thoughts. So in the first act, the intro, I so far what I've done is I've played the theme, told you the title of today's episode. I greeted you, warned you on the kind of episode, kind of podcast you're listening to. Yeah, you know, it's both a heads up for both white and black people. For white people, I'm saying, yo, this is a safe space for people like me. And for black people, I'm saying people like me equals black, Canadian, Haitian, and a bunch of foolishness, a bunch of craziness. Right. Another thing I like to do in the intro is share some history and some important dates or special, like, news worth knowing. Like, for example, RIP to Def Jam's first female MC, as she's known it, Boss. Okay, you know what? Why did I do that? You know, okay, yeah, sorry, I'm beating myself up for making a mistake. What's her real name? Boss, rapper Boss. RIP Boss. Oh, come on. Hold on a second. I am usually more prepared than this, but oh, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah, and I just assume that you, not assume, but if you listen to this podcast, you need to know who Boss is. Like, I should just, okay. I wonder, her government name is Lachelle Marie Laws. And she's well known for spitting the verse. And lately I've been flipping on some paranoid shit. Like looking fuckers up and down, trying to start shit. What can I do? Yeah. RIP. I don't know. That verse really did it for me when I was really going through some, not depressing, but yeah, you know, depressed, like paranoid shit. And just like, you know, it's like, who on it? Who? I mean, you know, when I was being a fake tough guy, I guess that's what I'm really trying to get at here. Hold on as I get to myself. This is weird. Sorry, I usually have a timer set up because I have. There we go. Okay, let's do this. All right, now, yeah, Boss. Second, like, now, some history. RIP to Harriet Tubman. She passed away. We lost her. She passed away. RIP, rest in power, Harriet Tubman. She passed away on March 10th, 1913. And last but not least, RIP Biggie Smalls, the Notorious B.I.G. Now, I bring this up. Part of the reason why I started this episode with some Biggie poetry is because on the last episode, and I'm just a shot, I forgot to acknowledge the fact that I think I was recording on a Sunday, March. On a Sunday, which was March 10th. Let me just confirm that. If the last episode was out, just confirm March 10th. Yeah, you're not going to put the date out here, are you, right? And it was unintentional. Yeah, okay. So I recorded on March. Wait. I recorded on March 10th. What you don't know is a lot of thinking goes through my mind right now. All right, okay. And throughout the whole episode, I completely forgot to acknowledge the fact that it was the day after the death anniversary. Like, I didn't acknowledge the death anniversary of Biggie, which is a first for me. Maybe, you know, okay, that's a longer conversation. But long story short, for reparation to compensate, I started today's episode with a line from Biggie, even though it kind of relates to the final thought, and also even though my initial intention was to start with some poetry from Tupac, but I'll explain that on the next episode. But for now, this is me trying to do right by Biggie's memory and bringing up the fact that March 9th, R.I.P. Biggie Smalls. All right, now, this concludes the intro. Now, let's jump to news and random thoughts, okay? All right, let's go. Yeah, man. When I was talking about how I excited to record today's episode, was really because I was really excited to recite that line, and it reminded me that when I do these episodes that I need to continue to do things that make shit fun, like that makes things, look forward to. Now, I didn't think I was going to butcher, maybe I'm being hard on myself, but I didn't think I was going to butcher Biggie's lines like I just did. Guess what I get for being excited. But it is what it is. It is what it is. It is. Okay. Oh, another thing, the reason I bring this up is because, you know what? You guys can't see this. Maybe on the future episode, you'll be able to see what I see on screen. But I have my sound pad, and I kind of organize my sound effects so I can quickly reach to shit like,
I am your king now!
You know, shit like that. You know, I know. All right, okay. Or this one here.
Bullfire!
Yeah, you know, I gotta fix that one. That's too much of a delay. Or this one. This is gonna be a new one. Yeah, anytime I make a good point, I'm gonna go with. All right. What's Guldahat Gulp? You know what? Doesn't matter. Just makes me feel good. yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So, news and random thoughts. First bit of news. I've talked about this individual before, but this is going to be classified under church ratchetness. You know, maybe I should get a theme song for church ratchetness. Now, for those of you who don't know, church ratchetness is a segment that I create, that I made up, where it's dedicated for me to talk shit about the church. Now, why would I talk shit about the church? Well, I'm a preacher's kid, all right? Some preacher's kid have kids that have babies out of wedlock. Me, I talk shit about the church, all right? Pick your poison. And if you're a member of the black guy who tips community and telling yourself, wait a minute, church ratchetness, that sounds way too close to sword ratchetness. And I'm going to say that, they sound the same, but they're two completely different. Two completely different things, man. I did not steal from them. I want you to realize that they have sword ratchetness. I have church ratchetness. They're McDonald's and I'm McDonald's. So please, please, let's not start any shit that doesn't need to be started. All right? Okay. Okay. It's a long. I don't know if that's the longest intro to a segment. All right. Okay. Today's church ratchetness is dedicated to. Actually, it's gonna be a two-part series. The first one is Bishop Lamar Miller. Who's Bishop Lamar Miller? You know what? Instead of reading shit, I'm going to play this. I'm going to play this thing here. Save me from reading. As soon as I close these tabs and get them out the way. Okay. All right, here we go.
He lost more than $1 million in jewelry during a highly publicized robbery at his Brooklyn church. Now, the so-called bling bishop is also poised to lose his freedom. Lamar Whitehead facing decades in prison after a jury convicted him today on federal charges, including wire fraud and attempted extortion. Prosecutors say he ripped off a parishioner's retirement savings, and tonight her family is speaking for the first time to News 4's Chris Jose.
It's been an emotional roller coaster for the past 4 years.
Rasheed Anderson relieved tonight following the conviction of Lamar Whitehead, better known as the Bling Bishop, for his lavish lifestyle. A Manhattan federal jury today finding Whitehead guilty of defrauding a parishioner and trying to extort a businessman.
It's been a long time coming, and we're very happy to see that the verdict was guilty today.
Rasheed's mother, Pauline Anderson, invested $90,000 of her retirement savings with Whitehead. Prosecutors said he spent the money on luxury goods at Louis Vuitton and Foot Locker and even used Anderson's money to make his car payments. Rasheed testified during the trial. You and your mother trusted this guy.
Yeah, we trusted him a lot.
Whitehead, no stranger to headlines. In July of 2022, he was robbed at gunpoint while delivering a sermon in Brooklyn. The $1 million jewelry heist caught on his church's live stream. 2 months ago, one of the men accused of the robbery killed by U.S. Marshals at a New Jersey hotel. What?
This was the guy that put the gun, have a gun pointed just like this in my wife's face, pointed just like this in my eight-month-old baby's face, and then had the gun to the back of my head as he ripped off my jewelry.
Whitehead not yet publicly commenting on his conviction, which also includes charges that he tried to force a Bronx businessman to lend him $500,000 while promising access to Mayor Adams. Whitehead claimed he knows the mayor on a personal level, the bishop going to social media after his arrest in December 2022.
Just because you was arrested doesn't make you guilty.
Jurors found Whitehead guilty of wire fraud, lying to the FBI, and attempted extortion, the trial lasting 2 weeks. Rashid had prayed for today's outcome.
I do want to give thanks to God because he was the one that, you know, revealed the truth, and I was able to go up there. Everyone was able to go up there and speak their truth.
Whitehead's sentencing is scheduled for July 1st. He faces up to 45 years in prison. Chris Jose, News 4 New York.
He lost more.
Oops, sorry. Okay. All right, boys and girls. I'm going to try to make this short. First thought was foot deuce. Shout out to my Haitians. Foot deuce means good for him. He deserved it. Fuck it. And two, you know, while I was listening to him go into the details about him getting robbed, it made me think about the possibility of why I forgot Biggie's death anniversary. It's because I was remembering how, as much as Biggie was a great rapper, talented MC, I keep forgetting. I had a thought where I remembered how, but he rapped for the bad guys. That was his gimmick. Like it's cool to be like, you know, fuck niggas, get money, fuck bitches, get, you know, reciting all that shit. But Biggie Smalls lyrics aren't cool from the perspective of the victims. And like I remember, Cardi B? Cardi B news broke out on the internet about how she used to use the date rape drug to rob dudes when she was a stripper. She used to use the date rape drug to rob dudes. Now, from a capitalistic point of view, high five to her. Let me be straight. I remember all these guys all of a sudden had morals about how disgusting her behavior was, while completely being oblivious and while having a picture of Biggie Smalls on their profile pic. And Biggie encouraged that kind of shit. He was for the scammers. He was pro. Oh, B, you're taking two shit seriously. My point is, maybe I am, but I'm saying it's cool to recite Biggie lines, but not after you're while you're filing for your, you know, after your house got robbed, your car got broken into, and you're filing for your insurance, and like, fuck, or after you got bugged, you know. Because Big, yeah, a lot, he was pro. I'm on their side. I'm on the side of the motherfuckers robbing you. So I think it kind of hit me, and maybe I'm getting old. I guess what I'm saying, younger me would have applauded Biggie. Yeah, let's root for the bad guys. And younger me would have probably been on the side of the preacher who's robbing his congregation, who made the mistake of trusting this asshole, or would have been on the side of the dude who robbed him. This is going to take it longer direction than I wanted to take. But I am going to say that, yeah, man, I'm glad that he's getting what he deserves. That's really bottom line what I'm trying to say, you know. Because I think of faith, as much as I talk shit about the church, I know the value of faith. And I have a disdain for pastors who abuse people's faith. I can't put it into words. All I can say is, if it were up to me, I'm just saying. All right, second part of the church ratchetness. And this just hit me. I'm thinking of a line by Jay-Z where he says, from a place where the church are the flakiest and niggas been praying so long that the atheists, Yo, I got to tell you, man, I feel that line applies to me as a Haitian, as a person who grew up Haitian. As a Haitian, I'm saying as a Haitian. Part of being Haitian is constantly hearing news from back home, back Haiti, and it being rare. It's fucking rare. It's to the point that bad news is no longer news to me. It's just news to me. Bad news is just regular news. Good news is like, that's special. That's breaking. That's what the fuck? That's mind blowing. Anyway, so I'm used to news and breaking from Haiti and ignoring it just because I'm already depressed. I don't need a shit to make me even more depressed. Now, I'm not going to go into details because I don't read. But Haiti's in the news again. And how it's pretty much like going down another level of chaos going on the streets. The gangs have taken over the streets. And the dude who's like in charge is trying to make himself look like Robin Hood. And then when I talk to my relatives about that guy, they ain't got nothing nice to say about him. They got their ears to the streets. You know, my relatives who have the ear to the streets, yeah, they're not a big fan of the dude. Anyway, that's not my point. What I'm trying to focus on, I just had this thought as I'm watching another headline about how Haiti is going through some bullshit. The first black republic is going through some bullshit. And I had a thought. Oh, because I think I heard someone in the background say, Jesus, like cry out the name of Jesus. And it hit me. That line by Jay-Z. Niggas been praying so long that they atheists. I swear, the long I live, the long I exist as a Haitian, the angrier I get at God, the concept of God, and the Haitians who still praise God. Now, I want to be clear. I'm speaking about my emotions right now. I am not, this is not a, hey, you people stop praying to God, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm about. I'm saying, I'm trying to paint a picture of that frustration I feel of growing up Haitian. And yo, I gotta tell you, I mean, if us black folks were competing for who loves white Jesus the most, I'm saying if we had an Olympics, a black Olympics, and we judge on, you know, who's dick riding Jesus the most? I'm saying Haiti would be a contender. Would be a fucking contender. I have been to a Nigerian church. I have been to a Jamaican church. I'm just saying. Haitians, we love us some white Jesus. And this shit feels like it just, in my frustration about my powerlessness about the shit going on in Haiti, I'm venting out at the praises. I'm trying to be careful. It's like I'm not judging Haitians who praise Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's like I'm trying to describe this. It's like I'm angry at this cry out for help to a person on the other side. We were told to cry out to, and that's not fucking there. It's a scam. My hate, my anger, this frustration is not going to better the situation. I get it. I'm just saying, I'm just thinking of all those times going to church. All those times the preacher's going to say, hey, Jesus is going to make shit better. It's going to happen. It's going to happen today, not tomorrow. Jesus is coming back. And blah, blah, blah. This is going to be, basically, I was promised a happy ending to this fucking story. And the realization, there ain't no fucking happy ending. It bothers me. And the fact that, I know I can't control, this is the part that I can't control, but I'm still allowing it to piss me off. The fact that, including my parents, including some of my relatives, the fact that there's a whole bunch of Haitians crying out to this blonde hair, blue-eyed, Jewish, honky, cracker-ass carpenter. Virgin birth, cracker-ass carpenter. that don't exist. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's good that these people have something to cry out to hold on to. But it just, to me, it's just, it's frustrating. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna stick to I'm angry at the, because as a child, I was promised a happy, I'm angry at this story. Shit, this is, yeah, this story is worse than season 8 of Game of Thrones. Actually, you know why? Because at least season 8 had an ending. It sucked. The ending sucked, but it had an ending. This shit is like torture. Torture of, I don't know. You know what? I'm thinking of something Wyclef once said. He said that Haiti has the worst public relations, has the worst PR campaign. Who knows? Maybe shit ain't as bad as the news keep making it out to be. It's bad, but I'm saying maybe, because I'm speaking from the point of view of someone who's just feeling hopeless. And I think he's coming from the point of view of, nah, man, it ain't over. It ain't over. Yo, they can nuke us. We're still crawling out of the rubbles type of shit like that. I'm just, you know, I think one thing I'm going to say about this podcast is I'm not into offering solutions. I'm not apologizing. I'm realizing that I'm not offering any solutions. I'm just working things through. Now, whether me working things through allows you to find a solution, good for you. I'm working things through because maybe I'm trying to get to the other shore. Anyway, I'm just going to end it at that. And then, you know, if the church ratchetness in this one is how I was promised a happy ending, and I'm not seeing it. All right. Okay. All right. Next bit of news. Now, this bit of news is more, it's going to be interesting as I share this in the news because I do not know this person. All I know is she's a coach. Oh, man. Hold on a second. Where's the link? I forgot to load this shit. She's a coach. And I'm going to, this is more about how this person handles the situation versus how I would have handled it. Okay, so I'm going to read the caption just so you can get a bit of detail. And it goes, this is crazy. Okay, so shout out to BJ Reigns. The caption goes, this is crazy. After Utah State women lost tonight, Coach Kyla Ard was asked how they rebuild next season. And she says she just got fired. Never seen anything like this. All right, so I'm assuming. So I don't know who. Yeah, exactly. Coach, that's all she is, but I'm going to play it and take it from there. Here we go. Hold on a second as I adjust the volume. Unmute. One more time.
And how do you plan to rebuild for next season?
I'm not going to be rebuilding. I just coached my last game at Utah State. I spoke with Diana, and they're going in a different direction, and I respect her decision, and I hope they get a really good coach in. I'm assuming that's going to be the last question. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
God. This is a grown-up right there, man. This is a fucking grown-up. This is a grown-up. Hold on a second. Let me just... you know what? I'm going to play. Where is this? No, this is. Oh, shit. I'll applaud you, Kyla Ard, man. You know, in this life, it's not what happens to you, it's how you react to what happens to you. And I play this clip, this news, mainly because of A, you know, I'm reminding myself that I'm a highly sensitive person. So this shit hit me. Now, a lot of people saw this clip, it went viral, sharing this clip, and they felt for her. They were like, oh, that's fucked up. Everyone agrees with this. So I'm not saying me being a highly sensitive, me feeling bad for this, for what happened to this woman is what makes me a highly sensitive person. But it's more what I am in awe of is how she reacted to that shit. Look, man, I get fired? I ain't going in front of no fucking cameras. To talk about, and she goes, look, I'm not going to be coaching next month. They're going in. You can tell she's distraught, but she's like an adult power through it. She's like, you can tell, that's not to go for a different direction. I'm not going to be coaching. I just got fired. I'm out. Peace. You know what I mean? I would have been two things. I would have been either, hey, no, I wouldn't have been in front of no fucking camera. But God forbid, I'm at gunpoint. They put me in front of those cameras. I'm either in fucking tears. Right? I'm either in tears. Again, highly sensitive person. Or I'm like, you know what? I got fired. Fuck y'all. You know, I kind of need a machine gun for this one. Yeah, and you too. Yeah, okay, that's too, okay, yeah. By the time I went click, click, they would have shot me. Well, in the States, in Canada, I would have probably gotten at least a reporter. Sorry, getting back to what I was saying. Yeah, I'm just saying, look. You know, I don't even know this woman. I don't even know this. I wasn't even watching the game. I'm just caught up on this grown-up going in front of the camera saying, yep, answer your questions. Well, yep. She says, yeah, I'm not going to be coaching. I got fired from this shit. Yeah, okay, got to go. Harsh, man. Fucking business. It's harsh. It's harsh. It is what it is. Okay. All right. Okay, now, focus on random thoughts. We went from news, then we're on to some random thoughts. Okay. This one here, oh, I remember. This one had me thinking about how, okay, let me go for the timing. Just to provide some context of why this caught my attention. I'm planning a trip to Atlanta. I'm going to Atlanta, all right? And I remember how I previously visited Atlanta. So I found myself thinking, okay, I'm going to, when I go to Atlanta, one of the things I'm going to do is check out the places that I checked out and took pictures in front of and take new pictures so you can have a before and after. And as I was looking for those pictures, I realized that I was in Atlanta back in 2006. 2006. I believe that's 18 years ago. 2006. Are you paying attention? And I'm looking at the picture of this young man. 18 years, like, oh, God damn it. Don't do any math, B. Okay, yeah. I don't want to remember. Okay, for the sake of comfort, okay, I'm 49, 20 years ago. That's 20 years ago, that would make me 29. Oh, shit, 29. 29, but if it was 18, so that'd be 27. That makes more sense. Yeah, 27, young adult. I'm looking at this picture of this young man. And it just had me thinking about the conversation I would have with this young man about past me, 26-year-old me versus 48-year-old me. And by coincidence, I'm scrolling for TikTok and I land on this clip. And it had me thinking, just some parallel thinking going on. And here we go.
I miss the old me. Oh, yeah. But I think the old you would be proud of the person you are now. Oh, yeah. I guess you're right.
For a youth code. Keep going. Oh man, this shit's powerful. Okay. So the link to this clip is in the show notes, so you can check it out for your own self. And link to the clip was in the show notes. But it's more the question of I miss the old me. Because when I was looking at my old picture, I remember telling myself, I miss the old me. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't miss the way I thought. I miss how I remember looking at the picture of this young man. That's what it is. This young man full of promises, still believing in a happy ending for Haiti. This young man who was more optimistic than more optimistic about life than the one you're speaking to right now. But I like the twist and it says, yo, maybe that version of you would be proud of who you are today. And I won't be lying, man. My first instinct was, no, that version of me would probably call me the F word as a derogatory for derogatory term for, what do you mean you're being sensitive? What do you mean you're on a podcast talking about how you're fucking sensitive? What do you mean you're not a thug? What do you mean you're not a millionaire? What do you mean you're not getting any bitches? No, you know what? Okay, I'm hard on myself and I'm going to get to that in final thoughts. But, you know, I think the one thing I am sure that younger version of me would be proud of, would be excited of, was, what? You did comedy on a stage and was good at it? What? That might be the one thing. But everything else might be like, what the fuck? What do you mean you don't own any guns? What do you mean you got no baby mama? What do you mean you ain't got kids? What the fuck happened? Anyway, yeah. All right, okay. So how much? Okay, 1 minute left. Okay, I'm going to this next one. Okay, I'm going to make this quick, I promise, because I'm going to stick to this time for the first time in my life, right? And this one, I'm labeling this under I fucking hate Toronto. Okay, I'm not making, you know, no apologies. Usually I hide this shit. On this podcast, I tend to like to be honest with my audience, with people, with myself. And I'll be honest with you, man. I hate Toronto. I hate the city of Toronto. I know I could get my ass kicked for saying shit like that, but I hate Toronto. Part of being Canadian, a real Canadian, who doesn't live in Toronto, is fucking hating Toronto. I made us up my note to do. I was only going to do the segment if I had time, but I am going to do it. Right, okay. So I got that out the way. I hate Toronto, but if I'm honest with you, a lot of that hate is hateration. You know what I mean? It's a big city. The thing with Toronto is the closest thing Canada has to an American city. That's on the, I could go through the list, right? I think part of it is just living up to the Canadian identity of being like, hey, I don't live in Toronto, so I have to hate Toronto, all right? Fuck it, right? And what kills me is people from Toronto whose feelings get hurt by that shit. I'm like, how the fuck? You're from fucking Toronto. Like, the people whose feelings get hurt when I say that, I feel the need to remind them, hey, asshole, you're from fucking Toronto. Oops, sorry. Yeah, you're... And then wait for them to be all arrogant about the fact that from Toronto, then go back to, man, fuck Toronto, okay? All right, it's that kind of relationship. It's the closest thing we have to an American city. Fuck the Leafs, fuck the Blue Jays, fuck the Eiffel Tower, the CN Tower. Fuck VRL, and fuck you goddamn. Oh, and plus, the thing is, I was born in the province of Quebec, so there's kind of a rival. Is there? Anyways, Leafs versus I was born in the province of Quebec. I went to these white people's school, and they raised me on this whole, you know, fuck the English. You know what I mean? The relationship between French Canada and English Canada, it's a little bit like North and South, I guess. North and South. You got to remember, you know, because French Canada, it's all people from France, and English Canada, it's the Brits, and, you know, they still got that rivalry going on. And Toronto is like the capital. I don't care who gives a fuck. Calgary could suck my dick, but Toronto, to me, is like the capital of English Canada. Not Ottawa. Ottawa's bilingual, but... I'm telling you all this to describe my hatred of the city of Toronto. Now, I say all this shit just because someone plays this clip, and this is where I lock arms with my Toronto siblings, my Toronto. Well, I don't give a fuck how y'all pronounce it, but my people from Toronto is this here. So someone played this shit, and basically, thing about Toronto is they've evolved and they have their own slang, and I'm just gonna give you an example of their slang, and it goes like this.
And what I don't like is if the business is true that you left your mom's in the hood, somebody go smoke that youth. You don't leave your mom's nowhere. You have money and you left your mom's there? Yo, you're sick to my stomach, fam. But if it's not true, Shorty's just talking shit.
Hold on, what's the name of this content creator? Seeking Success Podcast. Ah, hell no. Ah, sorry. I don't know this podcast, but... the title is a throw off. Okay, all right. So I don't know who this young lady's name is, but the one thing I am not mad at. Okay, no, there's several things I'm not mad at when it comes to Toronto. You know what? Maybe keep it legit, man. Fuck the city. All right. One of the things I am not mad at when it comes to Toronto is their slang. They have their unique slang, and the reason I respect their slang is because it's a combination of all these different ethnic groups that moved into Toronto. Like, there's a bit of Patois, there's a bit of American culture in there. I think maybe some Brits shit, you know, London, whatever, men's in them. I don't know, whatever, right? And I bring this up. Man, this is a long-ass segment. I only bring this up because the person who shared this piece of content, this video, I thought it was, all right, Toronto accent, okay? Because the initial person who said, yeah, Toronto accent ain't that bad, y'all just hating. But the person on my timeline who shared it wrote, this might be the worst accent I've ever heard. And then I'm looking at all the comments, and it's a bunch of people shitting on the accent. Now, I cannot control whether you like the accent. Like, I mean, I'll give it to you that the accent is different. If the reason I'm it's different, but making it a bad accent? Couple of points. First point is, fuck the English language, man. However way you wanna remix that motherfucking shit, good for you. All right? Jamaicans got their remix. Black Americans have their remix. The rest of us have accents, you know. When I speak English like that there, you know what I mean? We all have, like, even my English ain't proper. Look, I've grown up, English is my second language. I've grown up with people constantly criticizing my English or the way I remix the English language. I don't know what it is about English and that language, but it's like, you know, if you don't speak the Queen's way, it's like there's like a hierarchy. The more you speak like a queen, the higher up you are on that hierarchy. Man, fuck the English language, all right? And shout out to all my French teachers for bringing me up on that hatred. Two, it's something that, you know what? I think this is probably a shift, a difference, an evolution. Back in the old days, as Canadians, we used to... I need to find a better word, but I'm just going to go with dick suck, dick ride. Canadians already have an inferiority complex when it comes to Americans. Black Canadians have the same thing too. So the reason why it's a big deal that Toronto has their own slang is because they're like, okay, we can't continue to steal. We can't continue to use New York slang, California slang, blah, blah, you know, and then call ourselves Black Canadian and call ourselves people from Toronto, call ourselves Canadian. We're coming up with our own slang. And not only are we coming up with our own slang, we're going to be proud of our own fucking slang. You know what I mean? Broadcast that shit. Yo, I'm going to speak this way so you know that I'm from Toronto. Excuse me, I'm from Canada. No, I don't speak that way. I want to be clear. Yeah, next time, if I go to Toronto, someone speaks like that, I'm going to ask them for subtitles. But I defend their rights. I'm willing to go to war on their right to speak that shit. So, who the fuck am I kidding going to war with? I mean, I'll speak in Parliament at the Union. Not the Union, the UN. Okay, focus me. Okay, where am I going with this? Yeah, I'm saying good for Toronto for having their own slang. And fuck the rest of... You look, man, this is where I feel like Snoop Dogg at the Sorcerer said, y'all don't love us? Then let it be known. You know what I mean? I feel like Snoop Dogg at the Sorcerer in New York saying, man, fuck New York. Fuck it. We got our own thing. And that's pretty much how it is, man. It's... I think I'm bothered at the lack of support. I mean, it is what it is, but I'm... The days of Black Americans, of Black Americans shitting on our culture, on things we do that makes us unique, and it's not the fact that they're shitting on us, but the days of us bending to it, those are gone. You don't like our accent? Fuck you. You don't like what makes us unique? Fuck you. You know what I mean? Love us or leave us the fuck alone. What you need to understand is we are not trying to be like you. Especially after you assholes voted for Trump. Sorry, that's another discussion. But yeah, man, I'm just saying, yo, to my Toronto peeps, fucking ride with that accent, man. Love your accent, all right? This is where I set our differences aside and I fight with you for your accents. But after that war is done, we're going back to beefing. Fuck the Leafs. Fuck the Rogers Center. Fuck Rogers. Oh, motherfuck. Where is that that fat guy worked there? Rob Ford. Whatever that capital place is. Fuck that place. Now, I'm not going to say fuck Spadina because they've got a lot of good restaurants there. But fuck. Now, I'm not going to say fuck Caribana. I'm not going to say that. Fuck the materialism in Toronto. Oh, fuck the DV. Oh, you know what I hate about Toronto? Their motherfucking traffic. Holy, I could have gotten a blowjob, be in the best mood ever. And then once I hit Toronto traffic, oh my God, I'm worshiping Satan. I want to burn planet. I want to see the world burn. But all right, okay, but that's it. That's it. All right, so I'm mad at you Yankees for making me defend Toronto's accent. All right, gang, what time is it? Okay, let's go. All right, this concludes News and Random Thoughts. Let's jump to Final Thoughts, and then I get to call it another episode. All right, another groundbreaking episode. All right, Kate, let's go. Let's go. Okay, it's some shit that I... Okay, you know what it is? That it's a sound from my childhood... A childhood cartoon, and I'm trying to make it a thing. I just haven't figured out how to make it a thing, except when I make a good point. Yeah. Yo, I saw this documentary on the Transformers and how I didn't know Transformers originated in Japan. I know that sounds stupid, but anyways, that's another story. Okay, final thoughts. This is, we're going to go a little deep here, but it is the middle of the week, midweek episode. I got to wake up tomorrow. So what time is it? Okay, let's try to be brief here. Okay, what's up with today's title? Okay, well, like I mentioned, two things. The title comes from a verse from Biggie's track, Hypnotized. And like I mentioned, the reason why I went with that is because, well, A, I am speaking, I like the idea of speak my piece. Two, it's very common in hip hop for me to hear a verse. I go from hearing it to listening to it. But which one's the opposite? Is it the opposite? Is it listening or hearing? Which one's deeper? Or acknowledging the lyrics and going from, oh, that's what he's saying, and being like, damn, that's a good mix. Okay, so after my therapy session, I remember that came on. So, speak my peace, keep my peace, Cubans with Jesus peace, with my peace. I fucking love that line. It hit me differently, but okay. So that's why I picked it. That's why I picked it. Right now, the real conversation I'm trying to have, two things happened in therapy, and I'm going to two breakthroughs, two thoughts. And I'm going to talk about the first one of them. And then in the next episode, I'll talk about the second one. Like I said, I'll be using that POC line, but okay. So, I had a realization in therapy on how self-hate, hating myself, is not meant to be pity. This is meant to, if you're a highly sensitive person, you'll probably relate to this, right? But self-hate is a natural state for me. Comes natural to me. Like, look, man, if there was a competition about self-hatred, I'm not saying I'd win because I don't harm myself, but I am very, there is this, part of the realization I had when I was looking at that picture of my 26-year-old self, or 2006, was I 26? 27, sorry. Looking at that 27 version of your old self, and I'm like, damn, that's a good looking guy. But I remember being 27 and feeling that same hatred. I can't explain it. I look myself in the mirror and rage comes out. No, anger. Every once in a while, I have these bursts of rage against my own self. Which is why, and what's been helping is affirmations. Because it's not natural for me to say nice things about myself. So I got to force myself to say it. Though I won't lie, the affirmations feel corny. No, used to feel corny. But once I started realizing, dude, you're already making affirmation negative ones. So you need to make new ones to combat the ones that you're already doing. I'm an idiot. Anyway, so during my therapy session, I had this realization how self-hate is a natural state for me, and I am unaware of any other state. Nothing else. And I found myself wondering, how different would my life be if I actually liked myself? Not love, liked myself. How different would my life be? How different would I look? How would I behave? What behavior would change if I actually liked myself? Now, I've been reading a lot about self-love, self-acceptance, and all that shit. But it never really registered. And the thing is, if you've gone most of your life not liking yourself, it's not a switch. It's not just one affirmation. So, yeah, man, fuck these people who tell you like it's just an easy, like who sell you on quick. There's no quick fix to that shit. It is a culture. It's a muscle that you got to develop. Okay, stop preaching, B. It's a muscle that I'm realizing that I need to develop. The muscle of just liking myself. The thing is, I know how to pretend I like myself. I know how to give people the impression that I'm normal, like everyone else. I'm okay with myself. I know how to do that shit. I know how to come from a perspective of from a position from what do you call that? Ego. Letting your ego rule. What I'm saying is self-love or just even liking myself, the cause is foreign to me. And I believe the fact that I'm at this position where I'm questioning, where I'm at that realization is progress for myself. Again, I want to start off by saying this podcast does not offer any solutions. I'm just working shit through, comparing notes, and working my way from there. So I was going to, what time is it? Yeah, okay, I don't have a lot of time. So I was going to brainstorm what would be different about me. Fuck it, I'm going to do it. Wait, what would be different about me if I liked myself? I guess I wouldn't tolerate those bursts of anger. You know, one last point about not liking myself is I realized that when I was younger, really young, didn't know much, whatever, but I used to pick on my brother because he was younger than me, right? Didn't know any better. Like, I didn't know how to manage these emotions. And it's only now that I realize why I used to do that. I used to fuck with him. I wasn't cruel, but I did it enough to a point where he'll remind me of it. Hey, remember when you did that? And I just feel nothing but guilt, you know, rush. I have no idea. At the time, I didn't understand why I would do that. And it hit me. At the time, he was just an outlet for my self-hatred. It's like it was, look, my option is either take it out on you or take it out on myself. And since you're close to my proximity, I'm taking it out on you. Now, I bring this up, but I think it was a common thing in my family. I'm sure he's been guilty of that too. But it's a common thing in my family to take out whatever rage, hatred, scorn you have against yourself, against the closest one to you. Which is why, to me, relationship was kind of fucked up. To me, relationship was just, your partner was just that person you're going to, from now on, take out your frustration out on. Which, by the way, is not how relationship works. I bring this up because it hit me how, I think part of why I isolate myself is because I have this fear that I'm going to just, my partner is just going to be that outlet. I'm not saying I'm going to get violent with them, but they're just going to be, like, I could see them being like, yeah, I want a divorce. Oh, why? What the fuck? What the fuck? You can't handle just a little bad joke? What the fuck, you fat bitch? You know what I mean? It's like, Being that I had time to myself, I'm able to reflect on that. I'm able to look at myself like I'm from the outside in and go and see that hatred. It's there. And it's either that burst of energy, it either gets taken out on someone else or it gets taken out on me, on my own self. So getting back to what I was saying about what would change if I actually liked myself, I guess maybe that hatred wouldn't go away, but I would handle it better. I would figure out, I guess I wouldn't be looking for outlets to deal with. I'd probably confront it better. It's like, what else would change about me? I don't know. Maybe I'd be more confident about this podcast. Maybe I'd be about my art or anything that I create because I'm a creative person. I guess the bottom line is I'd be friendlier to myself. And I'm going to end this segment with a quote, a text work from, what's her homegirl's name again? Not again. Hold on. Dismiss. Suspected behavior on your account. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can load. All right. Nope. Let me see if I can load this shit. High sensitivity is not the reason. I'm going to share a thought from Life by Alicia. Alicia Boye. She is a self-help. What's her self-title? She is a highly sensitive person mentor. And she shared some things and that had me reflect on this idea of what would be different about myself if I was kind, if I liked myself, if I was more accepting of myself, even better, in the way she puts it, had a higher self-worth. And I'll just read it out to you. I'm not going to read the whole thing because, the link will be in the show notes for your own consumption. And she said something that made me think, that had me reflect on this question about what would be different. She goes, high sensitivity is not the reason you're a people pleaser. Low self-worth is. High sensitivity is not the reason you're chronically burnt out. Low self-worth is. High sensitivity is not the reason you're insecure. Low self-worth is. A lot of highly sensitive people feel like being sensitive is the problem. It's not the problem. Excuse me. It's not. The problem is the way you value yourself as a human. Now, she's got a table where she compares high self-worth versus low self-worth. I'll give you an example of the first one. It goes, your high self-worth, you're true to yourself and make decisions without needing to ask everyone else's opinion. Low self-worth, you don't trust yourself. You're always asking what's everyone else thinks for every tiny decision you make. Okay, again, that's the part I'm not going to read. I'll let you, she compares how high self-worth you do this, low self-worth you do that. Just to add, so she finishes, she adds, having high self-worth doesn't mean you always have it all together. Right on, sister. It means you love and respect yourself. It means you have your own back. It means you're your own best friend, no matter what. And then, ready to embody high self-worth, in the self, anyway, whatever, she promotes her material. Again, links is in the show notes. This is how much I love her content. I'm playing on my own goddamn podcast. White woman, too. All right, okay. sorry. Okay, joking all aside. Joking aside, I think the main point, the main takeaway I get from this is traits like highly sensitive, being a highly sensitive person. I started out initially hating the fact I was a highly sensitive person. And I started out that way to finally being aware of it, realizing it, accepting it, and realizing, yo, this shit could be a superpower or it could be a or continue to a bitch. It could be a crippling, or it could be a handicap. Same if I had, if I was like ADD. Actually, I am ADD, but that's another story, right? But my point is, all these traits that I have about myself, if I actually liked myself, if I started out liking myself, all these unique traits that I have about myself could have been an asset as opposed to something that made me less than, something that made me unable to compete, something, the reason why I ain't getting no bitches, the reason why I ain't a millionaire, you know what I mean? Like, all these traits, everything that makes me unique, if I actually liked myself, would have been things that could have been tools, weapons, way for this defense. It would have been like more strategic. I'd probably been in a different career. I probably would have gone for, so right now I have a job. It pays the bills. But when it comes to passion, fuck no. I rarely look forward to Monday. Like, I envy people who, like, I want to do shit that gives me passion, that reward, that nourishes me. To me, that's a foreign concept, but I imagine these people had, like, some kind of self-worth that made them say, yo, I deserve that shit. If you would know what life is worth, you would look for yours on earth. Yeah, I guess. Think if I had a better relationship with myself, like Bob Marley said, I would look for mine on earth. Wow. Okay, you know what? I don't think it's going to get any better than that. So I'm going to end with that. You know, I'm going to, one last thing, right, is because sometimes I say shit that makes my own self cringe. But I'm realizing, yo, it's my goddamn podcast. Either stick for the ride or not. I'm not forcing you, but if you're a part of the ride, then we should consider being, you know, connecting together. Holler at me. Send me a message. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Again, like I said, you can holler at me if you're interested in getting in contact with me. You can find me on these social medias via Twitter, Instagram, Threads, using the handle @ShutUpPodcast. If you're a TikTok person, you can find me at ShutUpPodcast.com. But if you're really serious, I mean really, really serious about finding me on the internet, all right? Fuck social media. Go straight to ShutUpPodcast.com. What was that? I said ShutUpPodcast.com. Hey, yo, bro, one more time. Because the dude from Toronto was talking too loud, I said ShutUpPodcast.com. Sorry, I made my own self chuckle. Email address is ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple. You know what? You can go to pretty much a lot of places where you can find a podcast. I'm not on most places, but I'm on a lot of places. All right? Do a Google search. But with all that said, seriously, I mean this. I'm really sincere when I say thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.
I am your king now!